KUOW recently launched a new project called Local Wonder. It's an experiment in a new method of storytelling. Listeners submit questions about the Puget Sound region and then vote on the one that they want us to cover. Well, the ballots have been counted, and the top local wonder comes from listener Ben Lee.
What are the descendants of the founders of Seattle, guys like Maynard, Denny, and Yesler, what are they up to these days? I just think it's kind of cool. I like the connection from the past to the present.
We sent reporter Joshua McNichols out to answer Ben's question.
If you want to find Seattle's dead pioneers, it's easy. They're all in one spot. Lakeview Cemetery. Leonard Garfield of the Museum of History and Industry met me there.
Lakeview Cemetery is really the great city cemetery. Everybody in Seattle history of importance is buried here, from the founding fathers all the way to recent celebrities like Bruce Lee.
Just past Bruce Lee's grave, we found a massive pillar reaching for the sky.
This is the Denny family plot, and it is pretty majestic. It reflects the view of the Dennys themselves. They were majestic in their minds, and they really were in Seattle history. They were our first family.
The obscure descendants of Seattle's pioneers are tougher to spot. They walk among us. You wouldn't know they were descendants unless they told you. Take Zach Cook. Here he tells his secret to a co-worker at the Pike Place Market.
Because I'm a descendant of the Denny's. Like, my great-great-great-grandma was one of the Denny's. Denny's. They, like, helped found Seattle.
Like, Denny's a restaurant?
No. Not Denny's. They're like, Denny Way.
Zach assigns stalls for the farmers and craftspeople at the market.
So we have at least 40 flower growers down here.
Zach recently traveled to Southeast Asia. Many of the market's flower growers are from countries Zach has visited.
Nazhong Dashu, how are you?
The flower vendors don't seem to care much about Zach's connection to the Denny's. They're more interested in the photos of Southeast Asia he carries around on his phone. Back at Lakeview Cemetery, Leonard Garfield and I practically trip over Doc Maynard's gravestone.
He was a great, colorful character in Seattle history, and it's fun to see him up here. But notice that he's got a flat stone, and the Denny's have a towering column.
Why is that?
Yeah, why is that? I think that may be that Doc Maynard did not take himself all that seriously, and the Denny family were very serious folks.
A few miles southwest, I find a Doc Maynard descendant serving espresso.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
We're good. How are you?
Doc Maynard opened Seattle's first general store. Kai Broughton is his great-great-great-great-granddaughter. Kai works at Dub C Coffee in White Center. Doc Maynard was famous for his personality. So is Kai.
People really started to refer to me as their favorite barista, and I say that with as much humbleness as I can. And it's such a nice thing to hear that you can be a bright spot in someone's morning.
Kai started reading Maynard's journals recently, so Maynard's been on her mind.
Anytime I'm in the International District and I pass Maynard Street, I think of him always.
There's a simple way to remember Seattle history. It's an oversimplification, but it'll work. Denny planted the flag. Maynard built the community. And Yesler brought the industry. Garfield and I are looking for Yesler's grave.
Yesler was a very important guy. Have we found his gravestone?
No, we haven't. Oh, right over there.
There it is. I like that. It's solid. It's sturdy. It's a little bit squat. But, you know, Yesler was a tough guy. He was old compared to all the other folks. And he landed on this little settlement with these young people. And he said, I've got this idea. I've got a steam-powered sawmill. And it's going to put you on the map.
Henry Yesler's mill might have sounded something like this. We're at GM Nameplate in Seattle's Inner Bay neighborhood. Yesler's descendant, Kathy Zetterberg, works here. She designs control panels and labels, like the ones that mark seat numbers on airplanes. Other workers stamp out her creations on machines. Yesler and his wife Sarah had a couple of kids, but their children died young. But that didn't stop Yesler from passing along his DNA.
He liked the ladies.
Yesler got his foreman's daughter pregnant. She was Duwamish and very young. That must have been quite a surprise when Yesler's wife, Sarah, joined him in Seattle in 1858.
When Sarah came out here and found Henry with a baby daughter, she took her under her own wing and loved her and treated her as her own.
That baby was Julia, Kathy's great-grandmother. That inspired Kathy to research the Duwamish side of her family. She found the early pioneers couldn't have succeeded without the labor of the native population. And for the most part, the natives accepted the pioneers' treaties. That was thanks to one of Puget Sound's most important leaders, Chief Siak.
And Siak is Seattle, what people know as Seattle. So I would be great-great-great-great-grandson of Chief Seattle.
That's Ken Workman. His family seldom spoke in detail about their history. It wasn't until Ken did his own research that he made the Chief Seattle connection.
In my family, my mom's been saying, we're royal, we're royal. We got German royalty, a castle. And I went, Mom, it's not German. It's Indian, and it's Chief Seattle.
That heritage must have come as a surprise. Ken's mom got kicked out of the house as a pregnant teenager, and his whole tribe, the Duwamish, is homeless in a way. In 1866, the pioneer families recommended the Duwamish be denied a reservation. When Ken was a teenager, he got addicted to motorcycles, specifically motocross, a sport where you basically fly motorcycles off jumps as fast as you can.
And so when you're searching in your life for one good thing that you can hold on to, this was it for me. I have all the broken bones, you know, back, neck, collarbones, legs, arms. This is a risk sport, so you always crash. And so the trick is not to die.
Well, obviously Ken didn't die, and when he grew up, he got a job at Boeing. It was a natural step, because when Ken talks about jumping motorcycles, he's talking about flight.
And so when you're going really fast, you become an airfoil, and so now you can control the bike in the air, so you're more or less flying.
Ken doesn't ride as much anymore. Instead, he sponsors younger riders and mentors Duwamish kids. But he still gets on the bike once in a while, and in those moments, he channels Chief Seattle's warrior spirit.
We're not allowed to go to war, so this is as close as I can get, is to twist the throttle on my motorcycle and get this thing to roar and fly through the air. And madder I get, the further I fly.
Over the decades, waves of immigrant groups pushed Seattle to grow bigger, wealthier, and more important. African Americans, Chinese, Greeks, and many more. Those later waves of settlers shaped Seattle as much as the original settlers. Leonard Garfield gestures out of the field of tombstones at Lakeview Cemetery.
So many of these early figures in Seattle history, we've sort of lost track of their families. And we don't have families that dominate generation after generation. But I think that's good. I think that's the American tradition. We honor people for what they do when they're alive, and every generation has to prove itself.
So what are the descendants of Seattle's celebrated founders up to? They're managing flower cellars, pulling espresso, making labels, and working at Boeing. They've become ordinary, like the rest of us. I'm Joshua McNichols for KUOW's Local Wonder.
This story was a result of a question asked by listener Ben Lee. It's part of a storytelling project called Local Wonder. If you have a question about the Puget Sound region, you can submit it at kuow.org/localwonder.